the cleansing flood. It's good to see your presence tonight. We're happy to see each and every one, and it's great that we can come together and to worship God and sing these songs of praise to God and pray to Him. We'd like to study tonight, I think, on a very important subject for us as Christians, and that is maturity. As Christians, we are to grow and develop as we live the Christian life that we might be a mature Christian. Maturity is the Greek words translated maturity express an important Greek concept, that of end or goal. The thought is that a mature individual has reached the goal of the process of growth as a person. Maturity should come as a natural process of our being among believers who are functioning properly as we face the trials and persevere, and through the constant exercise of our faculties by applying God's word to guide us in our daily choices. We know that maturity is very important for a Christian, because those who are mature Christians are able to grasp and apply spiritual truths, establish right priorities in life, and stand confident and firm to the will of God. Years ago, a person asked Ann Landers for the definition of maturity. The principles that she wrote in that column applies to maturity concerning spiritual matters. The New Testament teaches that Christians must grow to maturity. We notice here our text in Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 15, the Apostle Paul writing to Christians at Ephesus, he says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the edifying of the saints, for the work of ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ." And so here the Apostle Paul writing to Christians, telling us how that Christ gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and the purpose of this was for the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ, that the church, that each Christian might be edified and built up in the faith. It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. That is, to be complete, to be mature in living the Christian life. He says that we no longer should be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man. And so if we're mature and we grow as Christians, we're not going to be deceived by false teachers. And so we're to grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. When we're baptized into Christ, we are a babe in Christ. We're a new babe in Christ. And as a babe, we're to grow and develop, just like a small baby grows into a child and they continue to grow. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, Paul says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things." And so we're a babe in Christ when we obey the gospel, become a Christian, but we put away childish things. We're to grow and develop as a Christian and be mature. Maturity comes as we grow in faith and knowledge of God's word. And so what is maturity? Maturity is the ability to tolerate injustice. Yes, sometimes there's things that are not just, they're not right. Mature is the ability to tolerate injustice without wanting to get even. A lot of things, life is not fair. A lot of injustice, a lot of things may happen in our life. But as a mature Christian, we learn to tolerate those things that might happen in our life. Also, we're not going to try to retaliate, try to get back or get even with someone who has mistreated us. The Word of God teaches against retaliation. A mature Christian does not try to retaliate or to get back at someone. In fact, Jesus teaches us that we're to love our enemies. Love our enemies. In Matthew 5, verse 44, "But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you." And so it takes a mature Christian to be able to love their enemies, to love those who curse them, those who hate you and despitefully use you. And so we must grow and develop to the point where we don't want to retaliate. The mature Christian will practice this principle in everyday life. In Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 14, beginning, it says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And so a mature Christian will practice these things. Yes, vengeance belongs to God and not to us. We will not retaliate for someone who has mistreated us. Also, maturity is patience. It's the willingness to postpone immediate gratification in favor of the long-term gain. Yes, we have to be patient with others in living the Christian life. Christians must endure and forego some of the pleasures of this life if heaven is to be our home. Moses is a good example of this. He was patient. He was willing to endure affliction upon himself rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. In Hebrews 11, 24 through 26, "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." And so Moses was patient. He looked for something better than the life here. Yes, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Yes, he was mature at that time. When we are tested and tried in this life, it makes us stronger spiritually. In James 1, verse 2 and 3, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." And living the Christian life, we're going to be tested, we're going to be tried, we're going to be persecuted. But these things will make us stronger Christians if we're patient. James 5, verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." And so we must be willing to endure those trials and tribulations. Also, maturity is perseverance. Sweating out a project in the face of heavy opposition and discouraging setbacks. And so we may have a lot of opposition, people that oppose you, and you might have discouraging setbacks, but maturity is perseverance. It takes a mature Christian to have the kind of steady persistence that is needed to live a faithful life, overcoming the many obstacles that come along. And so we must be persistent. We must not become discouraged in living the Christian life. A mature Christian does not get discouraged, but they continue on in the faith. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, he says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And so let's not become weary. Let's not become discouraged in living the Christian life. Let's be patient and persevere. Paul had great difficulties, but he didn't give up the faith. He was beaten several times, and he was stoned, all kinds of persecutions, but he was persistent. He didn't give up. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 and 9, it says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." And so here's a good example of a man who persevered. He didn't give up, even though he had all kinds of obstacles. In Philippians 3, verse 14, he said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I press toward the mark. He had to press on. He had to continue in running the Christian race. We must be steadfast to the end. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And so a mature Christian is one who is steadfast, continuing in the faith, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Yes, the Apostle Paul had great difficulties. Also, maturity is to face hardships without complaint. Now, it takes a mature person to suffer hardships and not complain about it. We know that many people complain, and we need to be careful about that. One is mature when he's able to face unpleasantness, frustration, discomfort, and defeat without complaint or collapse or attempting to find someone else to blame. Too many times we want to blame someone else for our problems. But maturity is to be able to face these hardships without complaint. Christians must pick themselves up after a fall. There may be times when we stumble and fall, but we must get up and continue and press on toward that mark. In Philippians 3, verse 12 through 14, Paul says, "Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And so the Apostle Paul, he had to press on in living the Christian life. Says, "Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the goal." The mature Christian will be content in whatever circumstances he finds himself. Yes, sometimes things are not pleasant. We have problems in this life. It may be financial, it may be health problems. But we cannot complain. We should be content with how we find ourselves. As the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13, "Not that I speak in regard to need. I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And so the Apostle Paul learned to be content in whatever state he was in. Yes, when he was in prison, in stocks at Philippi, he prayed and sang songs of praise to God. He was content in whatever state he was in. Also, maturity is humility. A mature person is a humble person. The mature person is big enough to say, "I was wrong," And when right, he's able to forego the satisfaction of saying, I told you so. It takes a mature person to do this. Jesus not only taught humility, he also exemplified it in his life. In Luke 14, verse 10 and 11, it says, but when you're invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. And so it seems like back there when they had a feast, those in the highest positions would sit in the high seats. And so he tells them to go and sit in the lower places so that they will be moved up to a higher place. And he says, he who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus humbled himself when he took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. He left the glories of heaven. Yes, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator, came here on earth, became a man, and he suffered and died on the cross for our sins. In Philippians 2, verse 4 through 8, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a house or a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And so he humbled himself, became obedient even unto death of the cross. In 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6, it's likewise you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And so a mature Christian is an humble person. We must humble ourselves. Maturity is to be able to make a decision and to stick with it. Yes, when you make a final decision and the right decision, we must stick with that decision. The immature spend their lives exploring possibilities, changing their minds, and in the end, they do nothing. The mature Christian has made a commitment to live for the Lord, has conviction enough to stick with it. Yes, we made up our mind that we're going to live the Christian life. We're to continue to run that race. In Jude, the third verse, beloved, while I'm very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you, to contend earnestly for the faith which is once for all delivered to the saints. Yes, to contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints. We must be stable in all our ways. Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness by deceitful plotting. And so to be mature, we grow in knowledge of God's word, and we're not children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine that comes along. Maturity will keep us from wavering. In James 1, verse 5 through 8, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Upbraideth not, it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so a mature Christian is not one who wavers like the waves in the sea, but they are stable, they're stern. And says, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Maturity means dependability. A mature person is a dependable person, one that you can rely on, one who keeps their word. Yes, they come through in a crisis because they're dependable, they're reliable. To be dependable means to be worthy of trust and reliable. A mature Christian is dependable. I need to ask myself, am I dependable, reliable? Do I keep my word? Can others depend on me and what I say? In James 5 and verse 12, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes, your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. And so Jesus hears James, rather, Jesus teaching through James, that when we say yes, then we should stick with that, or no, and no, we should be dependable and reliable in what we say. Paul was depending on Demas, but he wasn't reliable. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, it says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and it departed into Thessalonica. And so here was a member who was not dependable. He couldn't rely upon him. He had forsaken Paul. Now, Timothy, a young man, was dependable. He was reliable, and Paul could depend upon him. He said in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 2, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, Jesus Christ our Lord. A true son in the faith. Yes, he was reliable. Also, maturity is peace with that which we can't change, the courage to change that which we can be changed, and the wisdom to know the difference. Yes, if one is a mature Christian, they won't fret and worry about things. Because if it's something that we can't do anything about, there's no point in worrying about it. In Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so Paul writes here, be anxious for nothing. That is, don't worry about anything, but go to God in prayer. And he says, the peace of God passeth all understanding. Jesus tells us not to worry about food and clothing and shelter, but we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In Matthew 6, verse 31 through 33, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. And so a mature Christian is one who knows that God will provide their needs. They don't worry about food and clothing and the necessities of life. They believe and trust in God that he will give them those things. Yes, let me help you in this self-examination and help myself as well by putting to you a few personal questions which we could all consider as we walk with Christ. Am I clean in thought, in word, and deed? Is Christ, so far as I can make him, the head of my home? Do they know I'm a Christian where I work? Are other people likely to be drawn to better things for knowing me? Do I guard time each day for prayer and study of my Bible? Do I go regularly to church and the communion, eating the Lord's Supper? Do other people find it easy to work with me in Christian work? Am I generous so far as I'm honestly able to good causes? Am I growing in Christ? Dwell especially on this last question. How many years have you been a professing Christian? Has it been steady growth? Or were you keener, more efficient, more ardent once than you are now? You can't really stay motionless in the Christian life. It's growth or it's decay. W.E. Sangster. And so we need to examine ourselves. Am I a better person today than I was last year, this time? Have I grown in knowledge of God's word? Am I being faithful, being steadfast in living the Christian life? In conclusion, let each one of us that are Christians strive to be full grown in our spiritual lives. Let us be tolerant of injustice. Let us be patient. Let us persevere. Let us not complain and blame others. Let us be humble. Let us make a good decision and stick with it. Let us be dependable and reliable. Let us live in peace with God and man and myself. Yes, a mature Christian is all of these things. And so let's try to be mature. Let's grow and develop as Christians. When you obey the gospel, you become a babe in Christ, but then you grow and develop as a Christian. And so we need to grow into strong, faithful Christians. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. God loves you so much that he gave his son. Jesus gave his life. He suffered and died on the cross that you might have forgiveness of your sins. To contact the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from your sins, you need to obey the gospel. Faith comes by hearing God's word. You must believe and have faith in God. Repent of your sins. Turn away from sin to God. Make that good confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And baptism, you come in contact with the blood of Jesus. It's in the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection. The blood will cleanse you. You'll be added to the Lord's church, and then be faithful, and heaven will be your home. And so if you need to obey the gospel this evening, we'd be happy to assist you. Why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song?